Good morning. Thank you for being here. And Mike, was that the verse I had down in the bulletin, Hebrews chapter 13? Boy, did I make a mistake. That's not the verse. Open your Bibles to John chapter 20. And we're going to read what was supposed to have been in the bulletin. Well, you see what happened there?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get after Dorothy. She's the one that proofreads. Okay. John chapter 20, starting in verse 26 through verse 29. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. There came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Sometimes, you know, we associate people with what they do. I mean, we do that every day. Someone that works on cars for a living, we call them a mechanic. So they are known by what they do. Someone who does welding for a living, we associate that person as being a welder. Same thing can be as, you know, building houses. We associate those people as being carpenters. And those who try to the best of their knowledge to cure the sick, we call doctors. So we do associate people with what they do. But when it comes to Thomas, he's not known as Thomas the disciple, or Thomas the faithful, but Thomas is rather known as Doubting Thomas. We've all heard that. We associate Thomas with being a doubter because he doubted the fact that Jesus had risen from the grave. But after a closer examination of a few texts, I believe that we should decide that Doubting Thomas should he not be perhaps better dubbed Willing Thomas? Thomas was willing to risk his life. Again, take your Bibles, open up John chapter 11. We're going to read a few verses, starting in verse 1. John chapter 11, starting verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. We all know Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go unto Judea again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. What are you talking about, Jesus? You're wanting to go back to the same place where the Jews were trying to catch you and put you to death by stoning. And you want to go back there? Verse 9. Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he's asleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. The disciples were reluctant to go to Bethany. They were reluctant to go to Judea because they knew that Jesus was a wanted man. They understood that there was a great possibility that if they went with him to Bethany to see Mary and Martha and Lazarus, that there was a possibility that they would die. And did you notice who spoke up and said very plainly, Let us go? John 11, verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Thomas, he looked at this as the fact that he was going to die. Look what it says there. Let us also go, that we may die with him. There was not a doubt in his mind that he was going to die. There was something that Thomas had learned about Jesus through the past few years that would make him be willing to forfeit his life in order to stand by Jesus. Now, the rest of the disciples, we know that they all went. But it was Thomas, doubting Thomas, that said, Let us go. Let us die with him. How many of us, as Christians today, how many of us would have the willingness to do what Thomas did? How many of us would have the heart to go and do something where we firmly believed was going to cause us to lose our life? I'm afraid many would probably not go. Look at all the places in the world where missionaries look at where they go sometimes, and there's a possibility that they're going to die. You know, I found a website. In fact, I believe Dr. Brad Harrop wrote an article, I believe, on Apologetic Press about all the Christians dying in the foreign countries. And there's actually a web page. I don't remember, but if you, I believe it was on Apologetic Press. It could have actually been on Focus Press. Look it up. And it also, it has a map that shows you all of the countries and how many Christians have died. It says there that there, he writes that there are like 12 Christians that are killed every day. Now, he makes a point, and he says he's not going to argue this point, that not all of those people that die are members of the Lord's church. It is, quote, Christians in the worldly sense. Would you be willing to go to some place like that, knowing that you might lose your life to spread the gospel? Years ago, Dorothy and I worshiped at a church in Indianapolis, and it was not in a very good neighborhood. It was mostly a black community. And we made up some flyers because the church there wanted to have what we have here once a year, a giveaway. So Dorothy and I, we grabbed up a bunch of these flyers, and right down the street from that church was an apartment complex that was probably 90%, 99% black. We walked down there, walked into the little courtyard that was there, and boy, did we get some strange looks. And they didn't look too thrilled that a couple of white people had walked into their neighborhood. But we started talking. We handed out these flyers to let them know that just down at the end of the street, the church down there on this date was having a giveaway. You can come and take whatever you needed. You know, that changed their perspective. You know, I'm not trying to pat myself or Dorothy on the back. But let me ask you this. How many of you here today, right now, would do that? Oh, I don't know, because they look different from me. You know, they may not accept me. Just think about Thomas here. Just think, what if Thomas had jumped up and said, well, Lord, you know that you're going to die. I don't want to go. I doubt very seriously if you're going to come back alive. If Thomas had said something like that, then he would wear the moniker of Doubting Thomas. But he didn't. He said, let us go also, that we may die with him. Would you be willing to die for the gospel? Thomas was willing to ask questions. Take your Bible, open up to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Start reading there in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Now here's old doubting Thomas again. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, our perspective, some 2,000 years after the fact, our perspective on the words of Jesus helps us to make it clear in our minds exactly what Jesus was talking about here. The disciples had no clue. They had no clue. Jesus said, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I go, I'm going to come back. And then, Thomas, he said, in verse 4, he says, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, what are you talking about, Jesus? We don't know. We don't have a clue what you're talking about. Our perspective on the words of Jesus helped to make clear for us what must have been confusing to the first century disciples. Thomas didn't understand. So what did Thomas do? Well, look at verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Thomas simply asked a question. He asked a question. But did you notice what took place when Thomas asked that question? Jesus didn't rebuke him. Jesus didn't ridicule him. He didn't make fun of him for the question that he asked. Well, Thomas, how could you be so silly? You know the way. It is sad because one of the biggest misconceptions that people sometimes have is that questions or asking questions is wrong. People are afraid to ask a question. Why? Why are people afraid? Thomas didn't seem to be afraid when he asked the Savior, the Lord, our Savior, a question. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't doubting Jesus' words. He wasn't doubting the fact that Jesus was going to go and prepare a place. That wasn't what he doubted. That's not what the reason he asked the question. He asked the question because he didn't know the way. If I told you to drive down to Indianapolis to the house that Dorothy and I lived in before we come up here, would you not ask the way? Well, how do you get there, John? I don't think I could even remember how to tell you to get there now, but the point is, there's absolutely nothing wrong with asking a question. There are no, what's the old saying? There are no stupid questions, but only stupid answers. Questions are one of our greatest resources for growth, knowledge, spiritual maturity? How did you learn back when you were in school? Yes, I know the teacher stood up there and told you things. But you had to ask questions every once in a while, did you not? To get clarification. You know, you would not blindly go and do something without first asking questions and getting clarification on what was to be expected. Thomas was willing to ask a question. Are we afraid to ask questions? Especially if we want to know the answer to something that's perhaps bothering us in our spiritual life. Maybe there's something that we're struggling with and we need clarification. We ask questions. We should be willing to go to our brothers and our sisters and ask questions. And as brothers and sisters, when those questions are asked, we don't ridicule. We don't make fun of. Because, just like Thomas here, he wanted clarification. He wanted understanding. And that should be our goal when people come to us and ask a question. Now, thirdly, Thomas was willing to accept the truth. Again, turn over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Start reading verse 24. John 20, starting in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see, this is Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. The others seen him, but he wasn't there. And he just flatly says, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, and thrust a hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of, and said, Peace be unto you. Then he said unto Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Note here that Thomas was not the only disciple, okay? You know, this is why Thomas has been called Doubting Thomas. Because he doubted the fact that Jesus had risen from the grave. But he's not the only one. Thomas is not the only one that is actually not believed that Jesus arose from the dead. It's not a peculiar characteristic of Thomas himself. Mark chapter 16 and verse 11, all of these were after the fact of Jesus' resurrection. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, right, remember, who went to Jesus' tomb, believed not. These are all the other disciples. They didn't believe Mary. They didn't believe. All right, then we can see in Mark 16 and verse 14, after he appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them. In other words, he reproached them. He was angry with them. All right? For their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, we've always heard that Thomas was the doubter. Thomas was the one who didn't believe. But here's the other disciples. They didn't believe either. It just so happens that the other 11 seen Jesus before Thomas did. Luke 24, verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. You're telling a joke. You're telling a fib. And they believed them not. Again, they didn't believe. Then Luke 24, 38 through 39. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have. They still had a problem. They were still in unbelief. Thomas wanted to be sure in the same way that the other disciples wanted to be sure. But notice, however, Thomas, his reaction when presented with the truth, John 20 and 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. In the person of Thomas, I do not see a doubter above all of the others. I see a willing disciple. A disciple willing to ask questions. A disciple that was willing to risk his own life. And a disciple that was willing to accept truth when it was presented. You know, we have recorded for us the response that Thomas gave with reference to the identity of Jesus, my Lord and my God. Now it's our turn to make a decision. Do you believe or do you doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? That's the question I leave with you today. Do you believe or do you doubt? This morning, if you're here and not a Christian, but you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away, would you come and make that request known? Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps you have doubts, and you wish